podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it's the Postmaster Show. After Liverpool have lost again, they've gone to Molineux and lost 3-0 to fucking dissect that as best we can. I've got Kev Walsh, I've got Andy here, and I've got Mike Keane, I've got Sean O'Donnell. I'll start with you, Sean. They're just not a football team, and that's a massive issue. You know, we can talk about individual moments, we can talk about individual performances, and listen, people all slow to who they want, and moments and things like that. But at the end of the day, I just don't know what they're about. I don't know how we're defending, I don't know how we're attacking, I don't know how we're controlling bits of games, you know. And, you know, we've all watched good and bad Liverpool teams, and this is far, far from a good one.
Oh, it's pathetic. Pathetic, embarrassing, painful. Every single adjective you can think of how bad it was. I mean, that was that first half. I couldn't believe how quickly we go 2-0 down. You know, surely, I mean, the second half, the first 15, 20 minutes of the second half was a little bit like Brentford, where they come out fighting, but that should be the first half. Why don't they come out from the first minute like that? And I get they're away from home, and I get that they haven't got sort of the fans and stuff, but so what? Like, if you've got a week to prepare, if you've got that length of time to prepare, where you're coming off a back of a load of these results, you should be in a better mindset to enter the game. And he's stuck with the same midfield. It's not like he's changed things there, and he's had to drop people or give people a bollocking. I think we all would have picked that team that started that game.
Yeah.
But what come out from that first half was just... the sad thing is, I think we could all see it coming. I don't think anyone fancied us today. You know, I'm speaking for the room here, but...
I was just going to say, no one's put Liverpool in the last man this week, have they?
Yeah. You know, no one fancied us. Everyone could see what was coming. And that is depressing. Like, it is really depressing. If there's any positivity, it would be the second half, the first 10.
What's the other positivity, Sean? Go on, it's just like a comic if I say it.
Yeah. Okay, if we're thinking 4D chess and what the best outcome for this season is, it's Everton getting relegated.
There we go.
So in that case, well done, Jürgen, for getting beat on purpose.
There you go, Jürgen's right, lads. He's one of us. He's one of us.
Solid three in the goal difference.
That's it, lad, isn't it? Yeah. If you're going to do it, you might as well go hard on it, because them goals can come in handy at the end of the season, mate.
I just think the talk of planning in the week leading in, I think any planning just goes out the window within the first 6 minutes. Like, any preparation, any planning, any analysis that they've put into it just goes out the window.
But they could maybe think about planning.
No, this is the point I'm making. I watched Accrington Stanley versus Leeds the other week.
Accrington Stanley, you're right.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, come on, do the line, Andy.
You're a fucking rat. Someone check the time for this because we're editing it.
No, but, yeah, I'm not having it that we can't
do the line, though, Andy.
Who are they? Yeah, we know.
Oh, lad, no one's happy, but we don't want to fucking talk about dissecting Olympia's performance. Lad, I know what you're going
to
say, and it sounds like, but listen.
Kev, hang on, shut up.
Fair play.
Right. No, you can't tell me the personnel we've got there, that shit, that they can't defend for 10 fucking minutes. Get through the first.
It's not.
You're automatically given the rest of the team amount to climb when you can't do the fucking basics.
All right,
basics, Kev.
Okay, so with the rest of the team, that weak-willed and that weak-minded, that as soon as something goes against them, in the first 6 minutes, lad, listen, in the first 6 minutes of the game, something goes against them, they've got an hour and a half's worth of football, yeah? Are they that weak-willed and that weak-minded and that fucking... They have no belief in themselves that they don't think that they can come back and score one goal to get a point against Wolves. Because if they are, lads, they're a fucking shambles.
Yeah, they are a fucking shambles.
Yeah.
So what I'm
saying to you is, it's not the fact that we fucked... I agree with you, obviously, there's no plan for the centre-half fucked it and scored their own goal. But by the same token, lads, there's got to be someone who goes, do you know what? Nightmare, unlucky Joel, shit happens. Let's just go and let it ease because the fucking...
That's the point I'm making. They're all letting the fucking managers down. And the only ones today who put a shift in was the young lad, Bajicic.
Yeah.
Was there. Nunes put a shift in. Gakpo put a shift in. No one wants to take responsibility. I'll give Robertson a pass because you know he's always going to give you everything.
But the managers, you say they're letting the manager down, but he needs to do better. He's on £8 million a year. He's one of the biggest team managers in the world. And what's he saying to them before they go out? Oh, just fucking go ahead, lads, just sort of see what happens. Because, like, they just look a shambles. Whatever he's saying at half-time today to get that 10 minutes out of them, say that before the game. Yeah. Because it's like Sean said, it's the same as Brentford.
You know,
it's
with that, though, lads, you've got to be careful, eh? You know, like, fuck me, lad. If there's a part of the show that could get clipped and someone's criticising the manager, that's the part of it. And I know you don't mean it like that, right?
But no, you've got to criticise everyone. No one's doing their job well. Okay, no one in Liverpool Football Club is doing their job well.
Nobody's above criticism, right? But if we all look at it, does anyone here think that there's any group of players in the world, regardless of skill, ability or age, that could play for Jurgen Klopp for more than 5 years and just keep to the same level? Or does he get the team to be greater than some of its parts? He does that by motivating the players and asking them to do extra and extra and extra. And listen, he's a fucking wonderful man. But if the same man is telling you the same things on the same, like even at the same point of your day for 5 years, it's going to lose some effect.
But then it was him who pushed for the contracts. It was him.
No, that's fine, yeah. I knew someone was going to bring this up, but pushing for contracts, right? The problem Jurgen Klopp's got, in my opinion, because I'll tell you, I blame FSG. I think they're a fucking gang of absolute cowboys, and I think they fucking absolutely hit the gold rush with Jurgen Klopp, yeah. And people are going to say, well, fucking hell, Jurgen Klopp's the one who's decided to buy Cody Gakpo. Sound okay? Do you know what, Cody Gakpo doesn't work? Sound fair play. It was a bad sign. The problem is, right, he hasn't got any wiggle room. If he fucks it up, they should just say, listen, fucking hell, thanks very much for the last 5 years. You've been unbelievable. Here's another 150 million. Go and sort it out. Because you could trust him to do it, couldn't you? If you give him 150 million now, would you trust Klopp to go and buy the right players?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not saying it's the manager's fault. And I think it's everyone. I think everyone needs to look at themselves. The owners, where the fuck are they? They decided out the selling up or selling 20% and fucking, you know.
The owners are fucking last.
And they sort of disappeared, and apparently, you know, Gordon, who's used to be sort of day to day, is now just on this, and so
just go and get us 4 billion quid for this thing we paid 300 million for.
Whatever it is, they want to do, they need to do it and fast, because at the moment there's a real problem at the football club, and they need to sort it. I'll come to you, Mike. Sorry, you waited very patiently.
Nah, fuck off, Mike. I'm next.
They need to, you know, because there's a real issue. I said at the top, they don't look like a football team, they don't. And someone needs to be getting a grip of it and go, what's going on? Who is it who's going, Jürgen, what's going on here? Like, and how do we sort it? And like Kev says, there's no better manager than you, so how do we sort this shit out? Who's doing that? Because I don't think there is anyone at the football club. You know, we've got a sporting director who's done 3 months and wants to get off. You know, as I say, we've got Mike Gordon, who's apparently just selling the football club now. You know, there's no one in there who's able to go, what is the mess? What is the situation? Because we don't know. We're just fucking guessing. You know, people say to us, oh, you need to do something on this and that. Like, I'm just...
It's about time you pulled your H1.
But, Mike, talk.
It's mad. We've just gone through a January where we signed a forward and they didn't get a centre mid. For whatever reason they want to suggest they didn't get a centre mid is why we didn't get one, whatever. But, you know, they want to sell. This thing they're trying to sell might easily depreciate in value. What? If we don't make Champions League this year, and say we don't even finish in Europe this year, there must be some knock-on effect. Maybe
how much do you reckon it is, don't we? Because I just don't think it's a lot. You know, I don't think finishing ninth this season knocks that much of our price.
It's not necessarily next season, it might, but what if we go again next year with what? 4 players maybe in the summer brought in. We're going to be losing 3, maybe 4. He's talking about this big shake-up. It's not them far. Once you start going downhill, it's hard to stop, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think FSG. It's not that I don't think they're arsed. A bit of me thinks they're not arsed, but I just don't think they're that bothered about that.
I think the problem is, I'll come to you now, Sean, promise. I think the problem is that they're in that American sports mindset. Yeah, like, you just have that. a shit year, and then you just fucking. I don't know, they're probably having a look at who they can get in the draft or something. Like, honestly, like, well, it's not quite that bad.
Nah, give it to them. Fucking no, thick no. As fuck they are.
No, they're not thick, but I think that they're complacent. Yeah, and definitely. I think it's like, you know, I was speaking to, I did a brilliant part with the guy from, David from the Liverpool Echo, and we were talking about, you know, I said, well, you know, it's funny with Boston, with the fans moaning because they've got like 4 World Series. They haven't won one for 80 odd years, and they've got 4. He's like, yeah, but they have like mad years where the shit, like the really, really shit, and then they bounce back up again. And I think if they think that that's the case in the Premier League, like, I think they're in for a fucking shock, yeah, to be honest with you, because, you know, United seems to have got their act together. Like, they all love that manager. They say he's got them playing and stuff like that. Like, Chelsea are a joke at the moment, and I watched them last night, and they're not much cop, but they'll get there eventually.
I think they're looking at the likes of, yeah, you say, United, Newcastle, but they're looking at, like, United, Leicester a few years ago, Arsenal, even ourselves a little bit, and going, well, actually, fucking then you can have a couple of shit years and then just go again the year after. But what we want is we want a dynasty. If Jurgen Klopp finishes his tenure at Liverpool with one league and one European Cup, I'll still think he's our greatest ever manager, but I'll think he's been criminally let down by underinvestment.
It's far too easy, though, to go above and blame the behind-the-scenes stuff for what happened today. What happened today, we all seen coming, we all could have seen coming. At the end of the day, it's a sporting thing at the end of the day. Jurgen Klopp, I don't think anyone thinks that he's not the right man for the job, myself included. I love the man to death, and I'll back him if we finish bloody 19th and have to go to the Championship. But... like at
as
the
long
same
time,
yeah, of course. But at the same time, it's still a sporting thing. You've still got to get a group of players and motivate them and get them in a position where they're not going 2-0 down the first 12 minutes or whatever it was, because that is just unacceptable.
I think you under any management.
So Wolves, you've got less resources than us. So yeah. You say, you know, we'll agree with you, Sean, is that, you know, we say like he's not been backed enough, but fucking hell, like
exactly. He's reached the point now though where he's like with the midfield. You can see it now. He's gone with that midfield every game he played for a while now. And that he's reached the point now where he's thought, well, that one's not doing it for me, this one's going. I'm going to make this one do it for me, because through the week we were very compact, weren't we, against Brighton in the cup game, and you could see what the game plan was. Don't get run through the middle, and we do today. And that's just got to be a mentality thing at the end of the day. It can't just be a lack of... It can't be poor coaching, because, you know, it's not really changed that much. It's not down to manager saying you're standing in the wrong position here, wrong, or whatever. There's got to be a point where it's actually just down to the players going, oh, well, here we go again.
Well, this is the point it was making. You look at the guy, and you can talk about FSG, and I tend to agree with Kev, to be honest, but you're not telling me in coaching they're going, all right, they're causing massive. Yeah. So just let a wandering ball come over, or Gomez not listening to his goalkeeper. We fundamentally, the amount of times we've slit our own throat this year in the first 10 minutes of a game, which throws everything out the window, and I don't... It lies somewhere, whether it's coaching, whether it's...
It's probably mindset.
Mindset, confidence, whatever. And you're right, that's Jurgen's job to fix it. But he's not telling Joel Matip to leave a floating ball to come over.
And he's picking him, though.
No, he's picking him.
But to be fair, I'd have picked that Phillips.
Come off it.
At least he'll fucking head something away.
You've got Joe Gomez. Ignore it. You presume a goalkeeper of Alisson standards, give him a shout. And Gomez just totally frigging ignores him. And then you 2-0 down. You can argue about the money and this and that and the other, but we're fundamentally hanging ourselves every game.
Because the players have played for too long. Matip is over the hill. Does anyone here think that Matip has got another good season left in him? Genuinely. Do you? No. No, all it's around. So he's over the hill, yeah. But we've got to cut our cloth accordingly. The problem is, we're cutting a foot off the top of the blanket to sew to the bottom of the blanket.
I'm violently agreeing with you, but I don't care whether he's fallen off the cliff or not. The mistakes he's made today, that mistake he's made today, you see that at League One
exactly,
level, League
yeah,
Two level,
the
and you're going,
though,
what the fuck's he doing?
Jurgen Klopp would not be picking him if he had the ability and the backing to bring other players in. I like Matip, he's a good player, but... Listen, he's not even our issue, Matip. Centre-half's fuck up. Joe Gomez is the same. Joe Gomez is a good footballer. But the fact that them two players today make them mistakes, yeah, and they're not the issue, but they are a symptom of our general malaise, aren't they? It's just confidence in football is massive.
It's confidence, Kev, but the play, and I agree with Andy, the players have let him down massively.
Yeah, they have.
Because if I was him, I'd be so pissed off that we start that second half. I'm pissed off that we start that second half as well as we do. We have about, was it 17 shots or something in like the first 20 minutes of the second half? I mean, the other question is, why aren't we scoring them? There's chances that we're not scoring that in a season where you do go on to come top four or challenge for the title, you put them all away.
Yeah,
so Nunes has missed, you know, one too many of those chances now. And listen, it's his first season, so you're not going to hold it against them. But that's an issue. Salah just doesn't look the same in front of goal anymore. So for me, I'm like, how can you start that second half so well, so intense, so like the Liverpool we all know?
We saw it at Brentford.
Exactly. But not start the first half like that.
You're already climbing a mountain though, because you're giving them a 2-goal advantage.
Yeah, the mentality thing will probably play into the fact that they deep down know there's nothing to play for in the league this season, really. The top four thing was there, and if you wanted it enough, maybe you could say, you know, you've got to put a run together, and maybe you still might have missed out, but if if it was there, they could have hung on to it. I genuinely thought we'd do a cup this year, even as bad as we've been. I thought, well, the FA Cup, you know, it's something on the line, it's something to lift. You know, they're not going to win the league, so maybe deep down when they go 2-0 down at Wolves, they think, sand, I'll just save myself. And that's what like six or seven of them are doing. And it's not good enough for the other maybe two or three who are putting the effort in. Then, like you pointed out before, Nunes ran his socks off really. And on 80 minutes, I think we had two shots on target, both his. Maybe he could do better, maybe not, but he's putting it in. And it's sort of a lackadaisical thing of just going, oh, well, you know, we're probably not getting back in this game, no sound. And it just feels like it's spreading to a good few of them.
Yeah, it is. It feels top to bottom at the moment, Andy, with the football club. And, you know, we can talk about the owners and what they're doing or what they're not doing. And I think it's what they're not doing at the moment that's sort of a bigger issue, really. You have to back the manager enough. I think Kev's point on, you know, the centre-half situation, you know, we give Joe Gomez a new contract in the summer. Maybe part of that's Jürgen going, well, I'll fucking keep him because they're not going to buy another one for me. Do you know what I mean? We went into, you know, we sold Lovren and we didn't get another one, and then he sort of went into that situation. So maybe there's a little bit of that. You know, I don't think either of them, you know, just look at it at the moment, and I'd have a bit more faith in Gomez because he's younger to sort of come back to the matter at the moment. He just sort of looks past it. But, you know, we're praising Batichich as well, but
he's a kid, though.
I know, and that's what I mean. And it's like he's gonna get fucking legged by Real Madrid. Do you know what I mean? And that's
fucking
my
Everton
thing.
Next lad. There's that. But that's do you know what I mean? That's where we're at. We're at a situation now where the 18th best team in the league is a fucking real concern at all. It's mad, isn't it? Batichich has got them to deal with first. No matter what happens against Real Madrid, and I think we'll get fucked, you know what I mean? Because I think everyone else thinks the same thing. Batichich is not, like, you just say to him, play in that game, do not worry what happens here in this game.
Like, yeah, and listen, I think he's going to be a great player in 2 or 3 years' time, but, like, you know, now we're, like, relying on him to be sort of our best midfielder.
It just feels like we're talking about so many symptoms. Sure, you said before, Sean, but mindset and being pissed off that they start the game so well second half, and we talked about, okay, well, why are these players still here? These are all symptoms of a greater problem, aren't they? And the greater problem, no matter which way you look at this, is a lack of investment in the squad. So I know what people are going to say, but we've just spent, how much, 110 million quid on strikers when we need a midfielders. But the problem is, we need strikers as well, do you know what I mean? So Klopp has made a gamble, and it's fucked up, do you know what I mean? We've made an error, because we need the midfielders in there. But if you just imagine if he had a little bit of backing and he says, oh, actually, we probably could have waited a little bit for the strikers, but here's another 150 million quid, and then we just sort the midfield out now, it'd come, wouldn't it? It just, I honestly can't get past all of our issues. I understand that on a game-to-game basis, you can say, well, they should do this and they should do that, but it's a holistic approach to the whole squad, isn't it? And the fact that it's been so chronically underfunded for such a long time, we've signed one midfielder since 2018, I think it is, which is, mate, it's a disgrace, isn't it? So the problem you've got is we've got an issue and it's not being fixed, but the issue is higher than the manager.
But it's the malaise. John made the point earlier about who's checking Jürgen, but also the players.
It's leadership from the top.
Yeah, but Julian Ward. Yeah, no, so fine. So it was Mike Gordon, right? And then Michael Edwards was there and Julian Ward. Julian Ward is going in 4 months.
Yeah.
So if you're the player, I'm not shifting blame.
Sorry, it speaks to itself that Julian Ward's been in job for 9 months and he wants to go.
But there's this malaise. No one knows what's the line of authority, what's the line of what's the chain of command here.
Okay, so if we keep taking it back,
I'm not making excuses, Kevin.
No, you're not, mate. What I'm saying is, if we keep taking your point back, I agree with all your points, by the way, but if we keep taking them back, where does the fault lie? But someone's got to be at fault in the end. It's the owners.
But even the players. Like, who do they go into? Who are they? When there's all this grey at the top at the minute, and fogginess, are they going to sell the club? Are they going to sell a bit of the club? What's going on? We've been left, and I go back to the original point, the players and the club have let down the manager.
I think it's so, like, and you, that was very, very well.
They look like they feel sorry for themselves, by the way.
Yeah, the mentality hasn't been there all season. They look like the least intense team on the pitch every game they've played this year.
Yeah, every game.
That was very well eloquently put, Kev, and I agree with it.
Kev's never been eloquent.
There's people shouting at the phones. That team's a fucking dickhead.
But I just think, I just think, like, all that is right, and I agree with it. And, you know, there's no, you can't really argue to that. But it's you need to take it back to the sport and stuff. You can't get beat 3-0 away to Wolves in the league and on the same in the same season you get beat 3-0 away to Brighton. And then, you know, get beat 3-1 or 3-2, whatever it was, to Brentford. I can't even remember what it was. That's how bad it's been, trying to block it out.
What was Brentford?
Yeah.
I'm still back on a 3-3 the year. Yeah. Yeah. Shit as well,
yeah. They beat us. 3-1. We went back to 2-1. I got my laptop stolen and we got beat 3-1 in the end.
Good day, I'm sorry, man, really.
The Napoli defeat was like, oh
Napoli was shit.
This is as bad as it gets. We don't get any worse from here. And then it's just got considerably worse every game.
The biggest indictment of Liverpool, the state of play, no one's surprised we throw two in the first 15. And you can see their third goal coming three passes before it goes in.
Well, the thing is, their third goal is only three passes. It comes from the left-back area. I think it might be the left winger who's actually got it. And he just pings a ball into what is an absolute acre of space for Traore to run into. Traore's a very limited player, but he's fast, and we've let him have that space. And he just cuts the ball back across, and Neves, who's the best midfielder on the pitch by a country mile, just pops it away. Do you know what I mean? It's not even like they built that up. They've just gone...
What I'm trying to say, though, is from a resource point of view and from an investment point of view, the teams we've been beat to, we're more heavily resourced than them.
But they've got a clear idea of what they're about, and that's the thing. So when we're playing against Brighton, they're like, this is what we're doing, and it's there's leadership from the top, and it goes throughout the club. So they're like, this is who we're buying. So we've got a left forward. This is what our left forward should do. Who does that? Let's go and get him. You know, and it's all that. And with us, we just look like a random selection of fellas who are thrown together.
We stopped doing that because we did do that.
And I don't know why they've gone away from it. And I can only assume they've got spooked a bit by these, like, you know, 97-point seasons where we don't win the league and stuff like that. And I understand that. But, like, what have we moved to and why is it a better option? Because I feel like we've gone from being the best run club, and this is where I'm not quite as anti the owners as Kev is, because I feel like they've done a good job up to a point, but I feel like this is the point now where they need to think or we all need to think, well, what's your next move, what is your big plan to get us out of this?
I hope it's a fucking NFL team.
Well, it might be, and if so, fucking hurry up.
And if
that's your thing, but so I think, you know, it's gone great till the summer, but it's going shit now. So what is the plan really? Because it feels like we've moved from a team who's really well run, who had a clear plan, who everyone is pulling in the same direction, to now, you know, you read in Mel Reddy's article. Mel Reddy is probably the best connected journalist inside the football club.
She knows Gibbons and Neil.
Do you know what I mean? So if she's saying, if she's, and Mel is kind as well, and Mel is a kind person, so there'll be shit she's left out of that to protect certain people. So it's a fucking mess. If Mel's saying it's a bit of a mess, it's a fucking mess, and she's being kind to people who work for Liverpool Football Club. And so if we're in this situation now, what is the way out? And that's what the ownership need to work out, because it's their football club. And, you know, I'm not letting anyone off the hook. I think, like, Jürgen needs to do a better job. I feel like, you know, at the moment, to get more out of the players, you know, need to sort of show more. But what is it we're trying to do? Because we've gone from one method to just, like...
Firefighting?
But we'll just get some footballers in and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're just a shit Chelsea then. You're Chelsea with less money.
I don't see it like that. It's just going, let's get some players and see where it is. I think Klopp's going, well, I've got to make a change somewhere. So I think... Neil, he made a very good point about maybe he just sees a transition that's got to go from instead of 4-3-3 to 4-2-4 effectively. Mm. So you do need less midfielders, but then clearly if you've got four strikers on the pitch, you need more strikers. So if it's a transition towards that, you can sort of see it. But the problem with that is your two midfielders have got to be Jude Bellingham and Tchouaméni class, haven't
he? You can't do that and gamble on the midfield that you had.
Exactly, yeah, 100%.
That's what they've done, and that's what we're seeing now. That's
why I keep going back to the fact that I just don't think Klopp's naive enough to think that works. I think he's, don't get me wrong, I think he's idealistic, but idealistic in a very positive way. I think he thinks, this is what I'm going for, and I am willing to put my head on the chopping block, and I'll say that if it doesn't go well, it's for me. But you're just not telling me that he hasn't looked at that squad, and I know he defended it in an interview pre-season, and he's not looking at that squad and going, that midfield chance, he just isn't. And also, even if he was, and he was naive enough to do it, there's no way in this January, if he'd have been given, just a little bit of money. Little, and I know 150 million is little in football terms. It's not realistic terms, but Chelsea have just spent way more than that. But if he'd have been given that money, you're just not telling me that he hasn't got midfielders in mind that'll improve that squad. So that says to me that if he hasn't been able to buy them, that it's not the, the problem higher than him. Do you know what I mean? Imagine his frustration. Tell you what, mate, he better not get to the fucking point where he decides, well, my hands are tied so much that I'm not there, because if we lost him, mate, we'd lock the golden egg.
I'd love to know what happens to go from not want to want too many to not want the midfielder to go into Alfa Melo. That's Liverpool's season.
No, when Alfa Melo is fit, like,
but by the way, though, to buy Gakpo though.
I you can't play in the Champions League because you're not registered him.
Oh, two games missed.
Yeah, but how'd you go from all that to buying a striker?
That's a good point. How'd you go from you to right, we need a midfielder, to spending 40 million on Gakpo?
I know why, because Gakpo was cheap.
PSV needed the money. Yeah,
it doesn't look that cheap at the moment.
But it's the same with Luis Diaz last year.
We needed Gakpo, by the way, with the injuries.
I totally agree. We needed Gakpo. But again, we bought him because he's a distressed asset sale, isn't he? Mm-hmm. So it's exactly the same as Luis Diaz last year. Listen, I'm not against that. That's good business.
Just
that's
do it
good.
In the midfield as well.
But not even just do it in the midfield, right? Do you know if you can't sign?
We saved 20 million there, so...
There you go. That's the one, isn't it? So Luis Diaz, if you look at the effect he had on Liverpool, oh my God, you'd pay twice what we paid for him. We would. But the owners are like, we're so fucking clever, man. Look at this. We'll just wait for a midfielder from a club who's desperate for money. Guess what? There's not that many midfielders in the world. Enzo Fernandez, who's had a good World Cup, has gone for 105 million quid. And I'm not out. Listen, it doesn't matter how much they paid for him. Does he improve Chelsea's midfield? Yes, he does. So I'm not saying he's value for money, but are Chelsea improved by having him? Yes, they are. Are we improved by having an extra 50 million in the bank and still playing fucking Bacicic? Five games in a row, he started now, hasn't he, Bacicic? And we're talking about him getting legged by Real Madrid. We're running the risk of a kid the age of Bacicic, with the potential that Bacicic has got, being ruined. Imagine if his confidence is drained because he gets absolutely played out of the game against Real Madrid and we fuck the player. Do you know what I mean? We're playing a fucking dangerous game.
The only other thing we're doing here is we are completely writing off Henderson and Fabinho, and I don't think, as bad as the dip's being, I don't think you can completely write them off and say,
I don't think the manager's
never
far off from
back.
Doing that, though, you know?
I think Fabinho's finished.
But players go through bad phases, so he's within his right to say, right, you know what, your head's not right, I'm going to keep it off of you. And to be honest, he probably should have done that with a few more of them earlier in the season, because a lot of them have been through phases like that. So
no one's put back in, though, has he? That's the problem.
The only argument I can see, and I'm not sticking up for FSG because
FSG apologists,
as I said before, I agree with every point you made, is a numbers thing and fitness. So they're like, okay, well, we've got every midfielder near enough fit now, and all the strikers, we haven't got them all fit. We've got pretty much all of them out injured. So if we're going to invest, I'm going to spend 30 million, let's spend it on where we've got the injuries, and that's all I can think.
So,
but
if there is, so just leading on what John's saying, and again, I agree with him. And I don't know how you do this from a comms perspective, because you just say, oh yeah, FSG is just saying this, saying that. If they've gambled on this season because they've got some mad plan in the summer, I think they're at the point now where that needs to be communicated in some way via Mel Reddy or whoever, you know, and say, well, look, this is where it's gone wrong. We thought we could get through this because we want to do this in the summer, and that's that. But then if they say that, they've got to go and do it. And I've got, with all the disturbance at the top, what you were addressing before, I don't think, unless there's something mad going on where deals are already done, I don't think they can say that with that certainty. And a gamble's just massively backfired.
I agree. I think they're at a point where the gamble's at risk now, because it's gone that far bad. Like, and listen, there's still loads of time to go and loads of plenty of seasons to play. But you know, we were looking at the fixtures before. obviously, we've got Everton next week, which is always a laugh. But it doesn't feel like a laugh next week, does it? It feels like,
well, after a few days in Benidorm as well. Laugh, fucking hell! I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. Did I tell you I'm going to be off sick next weekend?
There might be a few off sick tomorrow. Listen, we'll leave it there. I mean, hopefully that's been helpful or something for you. It's frustration, obviously. Listen, we keep getting beat. We keep getting beat badly. You know, we're not even getting beat by the old goal, are we? We turn up at grounds where we used to win easily and getting beat 3-0. It's no fun being a Liverpool fan at the moment, but we'll see what tomorrow brings. That's the beauty of football, I guess. Up the Reds. Sports Social Podcast Network.